We are honored and happy to have as a guest on The Blend today one of the founding members of the English Beat, Dave Wakeling, whose Birmingham ska revivalist band made their mark on the London scene during the reign of Margaret Thatcher with three highly acclaimed albums in a short time span of just 3 years, actually. Hits like Mirror in the Bathroom, Can't Get Used to Losing You, Save It for Later, and Tears of a Clown became the staples of any house party or club spinning the hottest music of the time. The English Beat broke up after their third album, Special Beat Service, but Dave and English Beat member Ranking Roger went on to form General Public and had a hit, of course, Tenderness. Now currently on tour, appearing at the Steel Stacks campus tonight at Music Fest Cafe at 8 p.m., we would like to welcome Dave Wakeling. Thanks for being here.
Wow. I should have you everywhere with me. If you could just say that every day, that would be fantastic.
Great to have you here, and thanks for coming by.
And to answer the question, where's the tenderness? It's right here, right now, in the moment. And that's the only place we'd ever find it.
On community public radio. Like
particularly on community public radio.
Like WDIY. What brings you to the Lehigh Valley? A spreading ska love, are we?
That's the general idea, yes. I enjoyed playing that venue when we played it last time. The furnaces still scare me a bit.
Yeah, they're about 180 feet looming over you.
They're looming over, and I'm from an industrial city, and my cousins and uncles all worked in an iron and steel town and in Consett in Northumberland, County Durham, Newcastle way, really, in the northeast. As I'm sure, when these stacks were smoking, that was not a great place to be around. You know, that these were very dangerous places where a lot of people lost their lives. So I'm not too sure about having them lit up as though it's some piece of architecture. It should probably be sacred ground at this point.
Right. It was in a chance of being torn down years ago. And the local mayor and the local city council and people in Lehigh Valley wanted to keep it as a remembrance, and it is our legacy.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't many people who worked in there who wanted it kept down, as the people in Consett were glad to see it get ripped down.
Right.
Put something nice there, put a park for the kids.
Right, well, we do have, there is actually a nice park and
everything around it. No, I mean, it's beautiful. It's an odd thing, and I know in town there's some discussion about it, pros and cons of it, you know. We just played a place down in Pittsburgh that had a big one, called Bessemer Square, with a big Bessemer smelting furnace.
Right.
And very, very similar, you know, painted up. And just, I had too many relatives who had too many friends get their hands burnt off standing next to one of them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you've heard about Tommy? He's dead.
Oh,
you know, so it's like, we don't see the romance.
Right. Yeah, my father worked there 38 years, so he...
What does he think of it?
He likes it. He hasn't been to the venue. He passed away, sadly, just a few months ago. But we did go down to nearby to a monument honoring the steelworker. So that was really nice.
Oh, they have a monument there.
Yeah, nearby. I understand you're working on a new project called Specialized 2, Beat Teenage Cancer. Can you tell us about this important issue?
We've got 40 different ska bands, reggae bands, from around the world, some well-known and some up-and-coming. To cover Beat songs, and there's 40 covers of Beat songs on a double CD called Specialized to Beat Teen Cancer. All the money's going to this organisation called the Teenage Cancer Trust, and they build specialist units for teenage cancer victims, patients. And they've found that normally teenage cancer patients would be stuck with kids or stuck with much older people towards their end of their life with cancer. Neither of them particularly fitting for teenagers. And so they found that with these specialist wards, kind of painted up and made a little internet savvy so that teenagers can be together and feel a bit more relaxed about the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly, they found that it can make a huge difference into their recovery, you know. Well, I hadn't really thought of it. My mom had worked in hospitals her whole life, and I'd never thought about that aspect of it at all. And I thought, what a great idea. So last year, Specialized brought out a CD of special songs covered by various artists,
right.
And it went pretty well. And then they said, oh, gosh, people keep asking, could we do a Beat one? Because there's so many different styles of music. And now the cover versions that we've got, there's quite a lot of country and western style. There's quite a lot of English folk style. Very interesting blend of it. That album has just come out, and you can find it at specialisedproject.co.uk. And also, if you go there, there's a festival that's being put on in November to celebrate this album, a three-day festival. And we've just brought out a Pay It Forward ticket, so that people from around the world, instead of paying the full price for the festival, but $20 buys you a pay it forward ticket, and that will sponsor someone to go and dance on your behalf. A designated dancer, if you will.
That's a great idea.
Because a lot of people have asked, oh, I'd love to be involved in this, but I'm miles away. I'm two continents away. What can I do? Mm-hmm. I said, well, why do you buy a ticket and have somebody go on your behalf, you know? Mm-hmm. And people who do that will get a video link of the festival so they can feel like they're there in spirit and that they've been involved. And that seems to be going really well. Again, you can find all about that at specialisedproject.co.uk. And it's all to benefit the Teenage Cancer Trust, which is at teenagecancertrust.org.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful idea. Music is healing in many ways. And,
yes, that's right. That's how music is healing. And being lucky enough to have a job as a troubadour, it's fantastic to be able to lend your songs to something and something else good comes out of it other than you just having fun singing them, you know, right. Paying your rent with them or whatever.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that part of it, the different connections you can make between music and society.
I like a lot of different kind of music, and you know, some is brooding, some is punk, some is heavy, but your music has tendency to be really lighthearted, fun. And you just want to dance around all the time. Like the last few songs I played here, it just brought me back to my youth, college days, and reminded me of friends of the time and lightheartedness that your music provides. And then I wanted to ask a question about, of course, the unity and love that it's bringing it together, but you also dealt with the social political topics of the day. Have the times changed at all? It seems at least like your music is really timely in this world of social upheaval.
I know, sadly, I'm afraid the times haven't changed much at all. I was hoping I'd write those songs 30 years ago and everybody go, oh, you're right, Dave's got a good point there, we better change.
Yeah.
But no, people have been saying, especially during this recession that we've had this last few years, mm-hmm. how some of the songs could be written about today, you know, Get a Job or I'm Your Flag. The various strains that get pushed on society when money gets short, that tends to bring out the best and the worst in some folk, you know, can drive people against each other. Our idea was that we wanted the music track to be uplifting. Lift up your heart, hear it from a distance, go, oh, that's nice, oh, that's happy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And having attracted people in there, you could, with a bit of irony, you could actually talk about some stuff far more serious you could have got away with if you'd had a very serious, dark or somber, angry track to it. It would draw too much attention. So we tried to try and slip things through, a combination of happy and sad. So Mirror in the Bathroom sounds terribly happy, but it's about me practicing for my first nervous breakdown, you know.
Right.
And you look in the crowd and everybody's like, I love this one. A mirror in the bathroom.
Right.
Mirror,
right.
La, la, la. But the idea, I think, behind it, with that, it's that little tongue-in-cheek and that bit of irony, because we all go through tragedies. We all suffer dreadfully. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Although we always pretend we don't. Ask any guy, how are you doing? Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Right.
Talk another 10 minutes and swap tragedies.
Right.
Everybody's up to their neck in it all the time, aren't
yeah.
they, you know? And so, but life itself is still wonderful. And so we wanted the music to represent the spirit of that. And once we got everybody up and dancing and cheerful, we can go, this ever happened to you?
Right.
And you just laugh about our, that's what we have in common is our tragedies. Very similar in that way, everybody.
Yeah, I think great music always covers all the topics of the day. And does it very well. I guess you've had a lot of requests lately for Stand Down Margaret since the passing of the late former Prime Minister.
Yes. You know, I thought it was my fault that she ended up staying as long as she did. She only did it to spite me. We brought out that song and she ended up being the longest serving Prime Minister of the 20th century.
Yeah.
However, her politics were divisive. The towns in England still destroyed from it. Whole generation was thrown away, and the generation that followed just wandering around in the dark, wondering what's next. So it was very cruel, and it didn't really work, which is the oddest thing. Which is a very odd thing about England, because whenever they get really strict, they always act like they know best. But it strikes me as odd, having just visited Australia recently, travel around America a lot, how come is it that the people that the English throw out as being rubbish always do a lot better than they do?
Right.
You know, so I think there's for me, the class system and the royalty system prevents any effective change, really, in England. You know, there's lots of wonderful people, but still wallowing around in a late 19th century attitude, you know, which luckily in America we've managed to get over.
Right. Well, hopefully things will get better. You mentioned Australia, and I one of my other favorite bands who deal almost exclusively with political themes, and that hardly any love songs are Midnight Oil.
I know him very well. He used to be my boss at Greenpeace.
And Peter Garrett used to be a member of Parliament, and now he's stepped down. And Pardon me?
What's he doing now? Because that's the last I heard.
There was just a statement about him just stepping down. But anyway, you know,
down, Peter.
Right. It's sad, but actually glad, because hopefully there'll be new Midnight Oil music
I liked
out.
Him very much. He was the chairman of Greenpeace International in the 90s, and I was working for Greenpeace International in L.A.
Oh, very good.
I went for lunch with him a few times. It was funny. He was my boss.
Yeah.
Do what you like, Dave.
Yeah. Of course, that big Exxon truck concert in front of the Exxon... On Earth Day,
yes.
1 year. That was interesting. I personally like the covers you did with the English Beat, a great updated version of the Smokey tune, Tears of a Clown, and a curious choice with Andy Williams' Can't Get Used to Losing You, a song I find myself singing to almost weekly at work just to get me through the day. And it's got this wonderful, you know, I grew up during the 60s with Andy Williams too. So.
Well, I loved that song. My dad loved the song as well. David Steele as well in the beat liked the song, and the bass line for the song was only a half step away from a reggae bass line anyway. Boom, 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 boom.
Sure,
boom,
slowed down.
Boom, boom, boom. And it sort of got a reggae feel. It didn't take much to shift it just over there, and the melody still fit really well. And my dad had been bothering me, frankly. He said to me, you know where you went wrong, don't you, Dave? I'm like, well, I suppose everybody knows where they went wrong afterwards, don't they? But what do you mean? He said, well, I don't blame you, son. He said, I blame the Beatles. I'm like, where are we going with this? What do you mean? He said, well, it was the Beatles, wasn't it, Dave? They were the first ones thought they could do the lot. Oh, we're going to write them, sing them, produce them. Right. We'll even draw the pictures on the back. It was their fault. They were the first lot. He said, now, you didn't catch Frank Sinatra doing that nonsense, did you? No. He had proper songwriters in, Dave. He was out doing models. Proper songwriters, not trying to be funny.
Right.
I'm like, what? And he said, you know what you should sing? I'm like, what? He said, that can't get loose to using you.
Right. Nice.
And so both him and David Steele saying it, we said, okay, let's have a try. I was very nervous to sing it to start with. I had to sing it a few times in the studio because I kept feeling like I was doing too much of an impersonation of Andy Williams, you know.
Right. Sure.
I had to try and keep singing it until the Andy Williams started to diminish a little bit.
Yeah.
Then we kept one of those takes.
Right.
But I love the song, and I really enjoy singing it every night. There's a hidden word in it, though. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. And 30 years of singing it, the word Dresden. Guess I'll get Dresden, do the town. I was like... They didn't put that in there.
No,
I guess
right.
I'll get dressed and do the town.
It's probably his affectation from where he's from. I should know where he's from. The Midwest, I believe.
Is he?
It's a good guess. But we're looking forward to hearing that song and more on Arts Quest. Log on to artsquest.org tonight at 8 o'clock. The English Beat featuring Dave Wakeling at Arts Quest South Music Fest Cafe. Steel Stacks on the Bethlehem South Side, the looming Steel Stacks.
Glad you got to say that, not me. That's a tongue twister, isn't
yeah.
it? It's almost as hard as working in one of them places, that must have been.
I read briefly today on the web you had two songs prominently featured in a Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated episode, and I love the quote, the songs were featured a zombie ska group called Rude Boy and the Ska-tastics, who come back to life in order to turn people into zombies and make them dance to ska music forever. Sounds like a great fate.
yes, it's terrific, and it ends up as a battle of the bands between them and the Hex Girls, and I wrote the both songs and wrote them in the same tempo and the same key, although they're quite different type of tunes, but it meant that they could edit between them and it wouldn't be jarring. In fact, you could have both songs going together if you wanted. Oh, it's a battle to the bitter end until Scooby-Doo himself has to come sliding on stage and start shredding, and he pushes the victory over for the Hex Girls. Turns out the Ska-tastics have been up to it. They'd pretended to die in an airplane accident in order to get some sympathy, and then came back as a zombie band, but it was all masks.
Hmm.
Darn. But anyway, Scooby-Doo, he caught him. Good lad.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids. That's what the...
That's it, yeah. That's right, exactly.
Well, that was probably a lot of fun to work for TV, television, and kind of be...
It was incredibly hard work,
commissioned
actually.
For that.
Oh, with the creative people, it was fantastic. But my gosh, Warner Brothers, crack a whip. Mm. Lord a week. They give you next to no time to do the songs in the studio. They're used to somebody coming in with it already done on the computer and just singing on it.
Right.
And I said, well, you want a battle of the bands, you might want to consider live instruments. Live instruments? We never use live instruments. I was like, well, they're used very often in battles of bands, right. Trust me, you know. So we did it, and we managed to do 16 hours work in 8 hours, basically, because if you went an hour over, you had to pay for it.
Mm.
That's like, really? I know there's a great honour getting a chance to do Scooby-Doo. I'd been in songs in a lot of films, but I got to say, being on Scooby-Doo's right up there with any of them for me. And so it was worth it, and I struggled through it, but they made you work for it. They made you work for it.
Well, they wouldn't do that to Paul McCartney, I feel.
I think they'd probably do it to anybody, you know. Right. They came in and tried to steal the studio for 2 hours. Right. We just need to do a bit of script work. I'm like, mm-hmm. We're recording songs. Yes, but we need to do this. So I had to go out in the car park and do a quick prima donna. I'm going home in about 2 minutes. And everybody cleared out, and right. I was ushered back in to be the king of Scar again.
Yeah, you wrote the theme song for She's Having a Baby. I read, yes. And then I remembered because I have the soundtrack. Great film by John Hughes.
I did. I wrote some of those lyrics with John Hughes, too,
okay.
Before internet for us, like one of those postal chess games. Where you like make a move and put it in the mail and send
right,
it
sure.
to somebody.
Before email.
Yeah, so we would we had some pages going with lyrics, and he would send some over, and I'd write some suggestions in between his lines and mail it to him. Mm-hmm. He'd mail it back, and we made up this composite. And it changed as the film was going on. It was interesting. The actual recording of the song changed because as he was making the film, he realised that the characters were quite a bit older than the teen characters, and that he hadn't really made enough of a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And as the film developed, they became a more mature couple, still young parents, but not as young right. as The Breakfast Club,
Early 20s.
Yes, so now getting into the mid-20s or whatever. So we actually re-recorded the song again with a more adult, contemporary mm-hmm. vibe on it. The first time had been kind of rough and ready, slightly faster Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Oh, change, she's having a baby.
Right.
That's sort of
sure.
A romp.
Mm-hmm.
This one became a bit more introspective.
Right, I was going to say.
To match the film, which
yeah.
was interesting.
I think starring Elizabeth McGovern and Kevin Bacon, I think.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think I've seen it since that day I saw in the theater.
She was a looker, wasn't she, Elizabeth
yeah.
McGovern?
Oh, yeah.
Smashing.
Finally, I wanted to always ask you this question. Save It for Later has been highly lauded and covered by many artists, Pearl Jam, and most notable, Pete Townsend, who actually, I think, said that it was one of his favorite songs. He actually recorded it, performed it live numerous times between 1985 and 98, and The Who performed the song during the reunion tour. And I remember him saying it was probably one of his favorite songs to do, period. And I actually have a copy of it right here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to finish the blend off today with his version.
I got to meet him and talk to him about it. I was just stunned, you know. At first I was stunned that he called me up to ask me about the tuning. Because the tuning's a little off. It's meant to be dad-gad, but I didn't get it right. And I got dad-ard. I was trying to play along to John Martin Records. And I didn't get it quite right. And he phoned me up on a Saturday morning, and I didn't believe it was him. I thought it was somebody joking. And it's like, hello, this is Pete Townsend here. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Sure.
So I'm sitting here with Dave from Pink Floyd, and we're trying to work out the tuning to your song. So I was like, you are kidding me. So like two of my guitar heroes struggling over my mistake in the tuning, you know? So they recorded it a few different times, and then I got invited to go meet him in Los Angeles when he was playing at the Wilton. And he'd put 15 minutes aside to me, and we sat in the dressing room by ourselves. It was fascinating, really fascinating. He said, songwriters, Dave, are the luckiest people in the world. it just doesn't seem like it most of the time. Which I thought right. was about the best way to sum it up. I can concur now after 35 years in his footsteps. Yes, I know what he means.
Kind of like a baseball player, you know, if you get it right one third of the time or so, you're considered a genius.
I suppose so. I'd not thought of it that way. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so we'll finish with that. Yeah, Pete Townsend, one of the best. But also I remembered hearing a story. There was a group called the Low Road in Philadelphia. They went on to do other things, and a gentleman named Slow-Mo, Mike Slow-Mo Brenner, who plays a dobro, and he electrifies it and puts a rapper with it, a hip-hop artist, and does a lot of interesting things. His new album's with a sitar. He studied sitar, and he's doing an Indian album. Anyway, very eclectic artist. But when they were in their heyday in the early 90s, I remember they played it quite a bit, and then Pete Townsend saw that they were in town, or something happened, and he came on stage with them, and they didn't even know it was going to happen. And it was
good grief.
They kind of found out very, very shortly before.
How fantastic yeah, is so, that? It's always been my dream. I'd love to do an acoustic trio with me, him, and Eddie Vedder, because Pearl Jam sings quite a lot. A passing resemblance to Better Man, should we say.
Yeah, well, they said they do it's part of a medley with Better Man and
So
Save
we
it
do
for
the
later.
Same back. We put Better Man into the middle of our Save It For Later sometimes.
Well, maybe our broadcast, putting it out on the airwaves, maybe it'll happen. Maybe our friend Brenda will make it happen.
Put it together for us. I just thought it would be for one of those, charity events that they do, those sort of high-dollar events on the television and that. It'd be fantastic to just get the three of us to sing Save It For Later together.
I'd love to see that.
Me too. All right. Put it together, okay.
Well, we're gonna be very happy to see you perform tonight with the English Beat at Arts Quest Steel Stacks at Music Fest Cafe at 8 p.m. Log on to artsquest.org for more information, and we're looking very forward to this concert tonight. Dave, thank you for coming by. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, and thanks for public radio. I'd be lost without it.
Yeah, thanks for artists like you who support and recognize public radio for what it is, a great community standard.
I wanted to try and make it my charity of the year a couple of years ago. We usually have a charity that we're involved with, it's over the years, Smile Train or Greenpeace, Amnesty, that sort of thing. But I wanted to try and do something for public radio and have a table there at the concert so people could sign up to their local stations. But it turns out it's not really one animal, is it, public radio, that there's different strands of it, and if you did something for one station, you might cheese off another station
right,
in town.
Right, sure.
So it started to get a bit complicated, and I backed away. But I did talk to some stations in Denver and other cities and Minneapolis, and I'd still like to do something because I know it's my audience that listens to these sort of stations, and I listen to these sort of stations. I always used to listen because of the news. The quality of the news was so much better.
Sure.
But now, as the years have passed on, it's my songs that are being played and the kind of music I listen to, so I'm a perfect match for it, and I'd like to be more involved if I could find a way.
Well, we'll try to make that happen right here, right now,
right,
with a spot you can cut for us. And we're helping out the royalties, playing the English Beat and general public and all the rest. So thank you again, Dave Wakeling, for coming in. This is Pete Townsend's version, recorded live at the Brixton Academy in England. This is Save It For Later by Mr. Pete Townsend, right here on The Blend on WDIY. See you later, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith.